Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to be with us today to give us discernment into the spirit of the Word, what it reveals is happening in these days and what we're seeing happening right before our eyes, fulfilling Scripture. Thank you, Father, for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, we're going to continue with Man-Child, Judges, and Preserves, number 5. And in this section, we're going to deal with Judas, the corporate son of perdition. Amen. Now, we've seen that the Edomites and the Moabites and others who factioned against their chosen brother will be conquered by David, as a type of the end-time man-child body. And as the Bible shows, because history always repeats, except on a larger scale, just as Jesus became, in his day, an individual who was then turned into the body of Christ because he left and returned in his people, there are so many other corporate bodies out there. Judas is one of the corporate bodies out there that is in the body today, just as Jesus is in the body today. And on and on. The woman in Revelation is a corporate body. The beast is a corporate body. All through the book of Revelation, it's very clear that these are corporate bodies that we're dealing with. So I'm going to deal with this one corporate son of perdition today and show you that it's happening now. Yeah. To continue our study, we're going to see that these Judases are, and today, and who they are revealed to be today by God. Okay. Just to go back and share a little bit with you, in 2001, a prophet from East Florida was sitting at his computer, and the Lord gave him a website to type in, and it ended up being our site. And this was a miracle, considering that in those days my address was far more complex than it is today. And when he found my number, he called me and told me that the Lord had told him that he would see the son of perdition in another month. Well, I told him, I said, I didn't think that that was possible because the falling away had to come first, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. However, when I got off the phone, the Lord pointed out to me that I was writing an article on the son of perdition according to what he had shown me, and it would be finished the next month. And I realized that this was where he would see, meaning get the revelation of, the son of perdition. So the next month when I sent him the article, he saw it as a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to him. He saw that the son of perdition, as a large body of people in our midst that would fall away. And of course, we've seen that happening. And supernaturally, exactly the way Judas fell away when Satan entered into him because he was so self-willed and sinful, it was revealed who that one in the midst of the body was. And so it is happening today. And as we have seen, Jesus and his disciples were for signs of those who were to follow in their steps in the end time. Everybody, all these ancient characters have a fulfillment in our day. They are a prophecy of larger groups of people who are following in their steps in our day. And Judas, the son of perdition, was one of those signs. He was a type and a shadow of a corporate body of people hidden in the body of Christ that is being revealed in these days. And, you know, if you don't believe you're in the end of days, listen on. You're going to find out that you are, because the signs that happened to Judas are the same signs that are happening today, revealing the Judases in our day. Because history always repeats, according to Ecclesiastes. Twice in Ecclesiastes, the Lord tells us that history always repeats. What he told me one time was, it always repeats with larger groups of people every time it repeats. Because we're bodies. When we entered into the New Testament, Jesus became a corporate body called the body of Christ. See? Well, a lot of people don't realize it, but Judas did too. This is our Judas, the son of perdition, the man of sin. In, as we saw Judas in a spiritual father of a vast body of people today that walk as he walked in the falling away and the betrayal of what? The body of Christ. These people are being revealed for who they are now. What is happening is exactly what Jesus said would happen at the end time when the harvest began. That is the bundling together of the tares, taking them out of the body and bundling together into bundles the tares, which is happening now. It's a great falling away. Okay, so this may open your eyes to some scriptures that you haven't considered in this way before, but pray for God to give you sight in this, because everything in the New Testament and in the Old Testament is a prophecy of what's coming and what's happening and so on and so forth. You just have to see who these people equate to in the New Testament. And Judas has been revealed to us personally as a long line of Judases who betrayed us and have now chosen a leader who is the worst of them all. Revealed to me years ago that he would gather past Judases to do his evil work. And now we have the proof of it. And I'm going to, over a period of a little time, reveal it all to you. So you know exactly what's going on. So anyway, Judas walked in the steps of his spiritual father, Dan. Dan was called a serpent, and was also one of the 12 patriarchs who fell away. He fell away. Dan fell away, just like Judas. He was one of the 12 that fell away. So therefore, if we study Judas, we will see who his spiritual counterparts are in our day. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, "Now these things happened unto them," that is Israel, "by way of example." The word example there is the Greek word that means figure or type. So, these things happen unto them, that is Israel, by way of a figure or a type or a parable, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. We need to be able to read these parables. Need to be able to read these types and shadows. Most can only see the letter, not the spirit, and they're not seeing what's really going on here. Okay, so I'm going to open your eyes a little bit today, if you haven't already opened your eyes on this particular thing, but I'm going to point out what's going on in our day. So let's look at our type so that we can see what is happening in the end of the ages to the church, body of Christ. The children of Israel ate the lamb as a type of Jesus, and they were delivered from the curse as the death angel passed over them, right? Galatians 3 and 13. Okay? He delivered us out of the power of darkness, right? They crossed the Red Sea as a type of baptism, 1 Corinthians 10 and 2, where the Egyptian, the old man, who ruled over the new man, the Israelite, right, were buried, and the Israelite, the born-again man, came up out of the water on the other side of the Red Sea and went into the wilderness of the tribulation. We're told it's the tribulation in Revelation 12 and 6 and 17 and 3. Okay, so a mixed multitude went up also with them, Exodus 12 and 38. The mixed multitude was part Egyptian, representing the old man, the one who died in the baptism of the Red Sea, and part Israelite, the born-again man, Numbers 11 and 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them lusted exceedingly. Well, of course, they would be the people who would lust because they were just half and half. They were half-breeds, so to speak. And they lusted exceedingly. In our day, we have witnessed this lust overtaking the Judases and those who follow them. Every form of perversion is among them. And the verse goes on, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all save this manna to look upon. This is a type of the half-Christians who lust after the flesh, and will even tempt the true Christians. And they obviously hated the manna. And the word manna in Hebrew is literally man in Exodus 16 and 31. We know who that man is, right? The man that they hated to eat was Jesus, who is the bread of heaven, the Word of God. We must eat to have life, according to John 6 and 51. Today, we see this body of people who totally ignore the Word of God and cannot be corrected any more than Judas could. They've lost all conscience. I'm not drawing back from that even a little bit. They have lost all conscience of the Scriptures. It's gone from their mind, and they don't want to hear it. Well, to make a long story short, this angered God, who said he would give them more flesh than they could stomach. That's what he said. Verse 20, until it come out of your nostrils, and it will be loathsome unto you, because that you have rejected the Lord, who in this case was the manna, who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And, of course, they didn't like it. They made a captain to bring them back, you know. They loved the flesh pots, right? Well, paraphrased, this says, why did we ever get saved? In type, they were rejecting self-crucifying word of God to live after their own lusts, and God was giving them what they wanted until it made them sick. This is kind of like the boy who gets caught smoking by his dad, who in an attempt to make him repent, makes him smoke the whole pack until he turns green. And in this case, however, the boy never repented and died of cancer. Okay. Romans 8 and 13 says, if you live after the flesh, you must die. Now, they don't believe this. You can put this in their face. They will just totally talk right over you. Don't believe this. Numbers 11 and 33. That's a reprobation. That's always a sign of reprobation. Numbers 11:33 says, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And we do have a great plague coming. And in our dreams, it was taking down these people. These Judases. Taking them down. And, yeah, no, it's not the plague that we just came through. It started out as a severe plague, but degenerated immediately as it left, you know, Wuhan, or the country. And today, it's not much more than the flu. And, of course, they're still using it as a scare tactic, and even our government, our new government, is using it in order to keep people out of the way, so that they can round up these criminals. So, a very great plague. And the name of that place was called Kibroth Hatava, because there they buried the people that lusted. They were known for lust, these half-breeds. Well, today, these people have fallen into every form of lust and perversion. The wilderness tribulation that was meant to give life brought death to those who followed after the flesh. And so it is happening in our days. And those who, according to the type, fell away and spiritually died as sons of perdition came out of their midst. No, Judas hung himself with his own hands, just like Absalom, who was hung in the tree, right? When he Judas'd against David. Types are parallel with what's going on today. Now, we've had these lukewarm people among us, but they have been spewed out. The literal word there is vomited. Been vomited out of the body of Christ. Because if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. That's what Jesus said. The very foundation of being in the body is forgiveness. They never forgive. They're not the kind of people who fall out with you and just leave. They sit there and try to chew on your ankles. And so Revelation 3 and 16 is what we're talking about. It was just like Judas, who came out of the early body of the 12 disciples, and Dan, who is no longer listed among the 12 tribes, Revelation 7, 4 through 8. Those that were left were sanctified from the man of sin that was in their midst and ready to go to the promised land. Amen. So this is all God's work to separate the wicked from the righteous. He is doing it now. He is getting the bride prepared to meet the Lord. Just received that in our vision in the midst of our assembly that was repeated over and over and over. The bride and the groom dressed in white. Bride coming up to the groom dressed in white. All of it was in white. This vision was seen several times in a row. And this is what's happening. God is getting out of the body, out of the midst, as Paul spoke it, you know, leaven. And Jesus, as a type of the end time man-child's ministry, was betrayed by Judas, who fell away as the son of perdition. And they have taken the spiritual mark in the forehead or the mind, and in the right hand, or the works. See? The mark is the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. That's the spiritual mark. Everybody who has the spiritual mark will take a physical mark, because God is identifying these people who do not belong in the body of Christ because they are a part of the body of Antichrist. Okay? And yes, they're in the body, and they're putting on a pretty good show, just like Judas did. But he really questioned it. Judas, you know, hey, are you a son of perdition? No, it had to be revealed to him, right? And that's what's happening today. They're being revealed. This is leading to the physical mark as an abomination that maketh desolate. Who is the temple that this abomination that maketh desolate is? It's the people of God. We are the temple in the New Testament. Those sons of perdition who receive it, desolate means without God, which they are. They're without God because they've rejected the word of God, who is God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, to the end that ye be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by epistle as from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be, that is, the day of the Lord. It will not be, except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, those in the midst of the body that pollute the body, that give it its spots and blemishes, so to speak, they must be removed so that we can have a spotless and blemishless bride. And how does he do this? Well, they're reprobated because of unforgiveness. They're turned over by the Father to the tormentors. And this is how they're seen very easily. And this is how they're separated from the body, because they don't like the body. And they definitely don't like the leaders of the body. They make war against the leaders of the body, as they're doing around the world today. In a few words, God is saying, do not be deceived. The Lord will not come for us until after the falling away reveals the son of perdition in our midst. Get the text more exclusively here in a minute. And the words falling away are from the Greek word apostasia, apostasy. Apostasy means a falling away. And as you can see, those of you who are really into the Word of God, you can see the falling away very clearly. It's happened, and many are in the midst of it, falling away. However, in the midst of the body also is this Judas, the son of perdition, who has to fall away so that the son of perdition is revealed. Okay, so apostasy here means falling away from Christ. And a lost person can't fall away, so this is not talking about a lost person. Son of perdition is among the Christians, as he was in Jesus' day. In the falling away, the man of sin, quote-unquote, and the son of perdition, quote-unquote, is being revealed. What the word says. God is purging his church of the rebels to get the rest ready to meet the Lord. People who have been acting like Christians will not be able to act anymore, because their foolishness will be revealed. As the Bible says about the curl, he'll be known as a curl. Know who he is. He was hiding, but was revealed, according to us. And as Jesus said in the time of the harvest, first the angels will gather the tares from among the wheat, and bundle them in bundles to burn them. And then the wheat shines forth in the kingdom of their Father, right? Because the leaven is gone. Not only individually does the Lord not want leaven in us, or any of their problems, their lusts, so on and so forth, in us. He doesn't want it in the body, in the corporate body. He is working to get it out of the corporate body. It's easy for him to reveal these people. It's very easy. All they will not turn loose of their lusts, If you correct them, they will explode. Yes, like Judas did. He exploded and went and sold his Lord. Hung himself with his own hand. Years ago, I prayed over my three sons and asked the Lord to give them a dream or a vision concerning our future. I did this to all three. And Justin, my youngest son, received his first open vision, saying to me, "Dad, can you have a dream with your eyes open?" I said, "Yes, son, I really need to hear that one." So he saw a great ship on the ocean filled with people. Some were dressed in white and some and were on the right side of the ship, and others were dressed in black and were on the left side of the ship. Sounds familiar? Where did the Lord put the sheep and the goats, right? But they were together. They were on the same ship. What are they doing there? Well, that God's got the same question. What are you doing here? a jet plane suddenly appeared and swooped down and shot a rocket which blew the ship to pieces. And those dressed in black were not able to swim and sank. Like those out of the ark couldn't swim. Outside of the ark, they couldn't swim. The people dressed in white swam around and built a new, smaller ship from the pieces. You see, God's not looking for the multitudes. He's looking for the holy. Yeah. And it's true today. How do you end up with a smaller ship? Well, some of them drown, lose their life. Like the parable of the sower, 3 out of 4. Lost out with God. Only one bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So these righteous people dressed in white that were able to swim above the flood of the curse, they searched out a smaller motor and installed it on the new ship. The government of the motor. I mean, it turns the ship, you know, so on and so forth. The government. The Lord showed me that this was the proverbial gospel ship. Those in white on the right are the sheep, and those in black on the left are the goats. Jesus separated them in Matthew 25 and 33. The white garments are the works of the Spirit, and the black garments are the works of the flesh. Romans 13 and 12 says, "Cast off the works of darkness." Black garments. 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." White garments. "And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Revelation 19 and 8 says, "And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure." Fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What delineates the righteous acts? It's the Word of God. Disobedience to the Word of God is rebellion. It's walking in darkness. It's having dark clothing on. These are the people that are going to sink. The rebellious, they're going to sink. Oh, they're sinking, I should say. They are sinking. And the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 3 and 5, "He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments." Overcometh what? Most people don't think there's anything to overcome. They accept Jesus and they sit down on a pew and wait for the rapture. They don't know anything about having to overcome. What is overcoming? Making sure the Word rules in your life instead of your flesh. Oh, we don't have to worry about that. Once saved, always saved. Well, read the Bible, please, or you are deceived by these people. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. Wait a minute, you can't do that, God. Once saved, always saved. Don't tell him. He doesn't believe it. And the water, of course, represents the curses written in the Word. Deuteronomy 11:26-28. Set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. It's a blessing if you obey it. It's a cursing if you don't. Those in black sank under the curses of this world. You can see it on them. I've walked by them, like in stores, grocery stores and whatever. There's a dark cloud around them. I see it. I see it with my eyes. I see demons. I've seen demons. You know, this last one that left, we saw demons all over her. Before she left. Glaring eyes, anger, hatred. Suddenly, the criticism that was in her heart could no longer be hidden. The true identity of these will be revealed through tribulation because they're falling away and ultimately to be destroyed. Noah was saved by the flood that destroyed the wicked. He was saved by the flood that destroyed the wicked. He became purified because he was no longer in the midst of all the wicked. The flood of destruction proved who was a son of perdition. Means in Greek, destruction. The son to be destroyed. And that once saved, always saved be. There are sons that are to be destroyed. Yeah. The new, smaller motor is the new church government that is going to be raised up and is being raised up. Thank you, Lord. John 17:12, it says, while I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Well, is it still this way today? Yes, of course. The son of perdition is going to be lost, is being lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. So we see from the parable of the sower that those who receive the word, only one quarter of them bear fruit, and that makes them chosen, because when you go out into the field, you choose the fruit. You don't want the plant, you want the fruit, right? Okay, but now we see something else. He guarded these disciples. Now, we shouldn't be calling the Christians, that term has become so polluted. Disciples, that's a learner and a follower. Those are the ones. And Jesus was pointing out that of the disciples, none of them were lost, but the son of perdition. Because why? The falling away. Not one of them perished, but the son of perdition. Is it still the same today? Yes. Of the disciples. Now, not of the loosely called Christians, of the disciples. Right? And among the people of God in the coming days, not one will perish, but the son of perdition. And right now, same thing. It's happening. It's happening. And you can't tell them, hey, you're falling away. You can't be saved. You don't forgive anybody. And you're full of these lusts. And you think it's okay. You think you're going to go to heaven. And you're a pervert. Yeah. What happened in Jesus' day is going to happen in this day. Look at the signs in the Gospels, because they're going to be fulfilled again. Said Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which hath been is that which shall be. And that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. If what you see of your revelation of the end times doesn't fit into history, it's wrong. Throw it out. History is a prophecy of the future, which is now. Throw it out. They didn't jump over, by the way, the wilderness to get to the promised land. They had to go through the wilderness trial. And such the church will do. But they've been told, oh, don't worry. You're just waiting for the rapture. You're going to get out of here. You're never going to see that. Contrary to every type in the scriptures and clear word in the scriptures, their escapism is causing them to not know that they have to be somebody before they can go. That's Jesus. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. It's Jesus in you that's going to heaven, not your evil flesh. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If your doctrine is wrong, throw it out. Get away from these people who are talking you into sleeping and not doing what you need to do to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Those who fall away in this day are revealed to be the son of perdition, who was hidden in the body. John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. In other words, Judas was not chosen because he would not do the things Jesus spoke. Doing the things is what we call fruit. You just didn't have, he was listening to the best preacher there ever was. And he was held responsible. And today, the more you know, the more you're held responsible. You have to bear fruit of the word, who is Jesus Christ. And the lawless can be called, but they will not be chosen. For many are called, but few chosen. The word chosen is the word eklektos, where we get the word elect. Judas was called to partake of Christ, but chose to follow his flesh. He was a greedy thief, for one thing. Stole from the people of God, just like the Judases do today. Just like them. They're falling away for the same reason, getting reprobated for the same reasons that Judas was. History is repeating. In John 13:18, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. Judas ate Jesus' bread, and it was the best bread there is. If we don't depart from that bread, we'll be doing fine. So Judas ate Jesus' bread with the disciples, and then he betrayed him. This also identifies the mixed multitude who followed their Judases. In our day, the body of Judas eats Jesus' bread and then betrays the body of Christ. Verse 21, and when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He knew who it was. You know what? We have always known who it is. Verse 22. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Matthew 26:22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began to say unto him, every one, is it I, Lord? What is amazing to us personally, who have experienced this, is we've always known who the son of perdition was before they were manifested, because our dreams identified them. We're going to prove this. Dreams identified them. And whoever fell into this faction, which is a demon possession, a loss of all conviction of sin, never admit to any sin. We're going to prove this. We know who they are. We've had the dreams. We've told people ahead of time, you're going to fall into faction. We've got more than two or three dreams telling us you're going to fall into faction. The leader of the faction now, I told him that the first time he fell out. Oh, no, that'll never happen to me. It did a week after I told him. Then he did it three more times after the first time. Okay? Yeah. There is no reforming them. The ones that are among them must come out from among them and be separate and be holy. That's the only way. Obviously, the son of perdition, the man of sin, was as well hidden to the others as he is today. He seemed like one of them. Jesus sent out the 12 to do the miracles. Don't you think that they would have been suspecting Judas if he didn't do any? Well, I can tell you one thing about the son of perdition today. They got no power whatsoever. They turned back to every way of the world. They got no power. They get no healing. They get no deliverances. They don't read the word of God. And this is why the son of perdition has to be revealed in our day. He does the religious works, and for a time, he can hide his lack of fruit. Tribulation is necessary to reveal and to separate him from the body. He's a cancer in the body of Christ. Judas's hidden lusts overcame him when he was tribulated. For silver, personal gain, he sold out the body of Christ. We had one that was given 300 pieces of silver to give to the poor amongst us. Kept it. 300. It was 30 pieces of silver. 100 pieces of silver. He revealed himself for who he was. Then he stole a bunch of other stuff. Got caught. Okay? And others stole things too. And got caught. And we know about it. Some of them don't even know we know about it, but we've got the proof already. He was secretly a thief who stole from the common purse. John 12:6. He had no concern for the brethren's needs, only his own. Son of perdition still takes what belongs to Jesus and his disciples for himself. Faction in our day has done this identifying themselves. Jesus and the disciples had all things common, a practice that continued in Acts 2:44 and 4:32. Luke 14:33 says, "So therefore, whosoever be he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." We have to renounce all ownership of all possessions. Not only do the righteous give of their possessions to make equality, the wicked steal it. They're not satisfied to give to others and meet others' needs. I've made agreements with them. Hey, you take this car and give it to so-and-so, I'll buy you a new one. And they made the agreement. This happened twice with one person. Made the agreement. And then he afterwards decided to keep the vehicle. He didn't give a hoot about the person's need. That's what happens when faction comes over. You got no conscience. Zero. We have to renounce ownership of our possessions, our rights, and our will to be a disciple. We are merely stewards of these things for Jesus and the brethren. True disciples steward common possessions, rights, and will to see that all needs are met. Every member of a body, eyes, ears, arms, etc., serves the body. These people only serve themselves and their ego. They've got terrible egos. And rejection. Judas had rejection. Made him angry when Jesus corrected him. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. And you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Amen. So, in identifying his Judas, Jesus said in John 13 and 26, Jesus therefore answereth, he it is for whom I dip the sop and give it to him. So when he had dipped the sop, he taketh and giveth it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the sop, then entered Satan into him. See, it was a sudden change, just like it was with all of these people, a sudden change. No conscience. Jesus therefore saith unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. In other words, Jesus knew you got to have the sons of perdition. They got a job to do. It's to crucify the Christ. That's their job. That's why he permits them. Crucify the Christ. And of course, when he crucified Jesus, when Jesus died, he died by his own hands. Yeah. So when Judas ate the sop and Satan entered into him, he manifestly became the son of perdition. We've seen this sudden change come over the Judases when their lusts were hindered in any way, or they got any kind of even graceful correction. Like, you can't do this. This is what the scripture says here. You can't do this. Boom, explosion. From then on, they are unreasonable and very foolish. No conscience. And this is happening now. Telling you what Jesus said that began the end times is happening now. The Lord spoke to me plainly years ago and said, S-O-P, son of perdition. That's what he said. You say, oh, David, that's just, well, I don't care. He used it. The Lord used it. The sop was a morsel of bread that was used to soak up liquid food, right? And we must eat the bread of Christ, the Word, to bear fruit. But it also makes us responsible. John 15 and 22 said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Judas was reprobated because he knew too much of the Word to get away with what he did. He was willfully disobedient. We know Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. Judas was devoured. Sons of perdition today are being devoured. Nothing like what they were when we knew them as brethren. Nothing. We have personally seen those who delighted to know our truths suddenly lose them all when they are reprobated like Jesus was. Many are being hardened today. Because when they hear the Word, they do not repent. We just got this text in our morning prayer meeting by Faith at Random about these people. Psalm 41 and 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Word Judas is Hebrew meaning, means to use the hand. God definitely used the hand of Judas. Jesus told him, "What thou doest, do quickly." Acts 2:23, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. Lawless here is the same Greek word as in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, where the son of perdition is called the man of sin or lawlessness. Right. They've told you a bunch of baloney about 2 Thessalonians 2:3. We know who the son of perdition is. We know the falling away is revealing him, just as Jesus said it would. But they've got this guy far away over in the Middle East, you know, he's the son of perdition. No, it's a bunch of baloney. The history is being repeated in your neighborhood. That's why you have to pay attention, because they're not going to reveal this, because many of them in the pulpit are sons of perdition. They're selling out their people for their own ego and prosperity. God used the hand of a man of lawlessness to crucify the body of Christ, and in these days it is happening. Our greatest enemy is the man of lawlessness that is among the people of God. From the beginning, Jesus knew Judas would fall away. And Jesus said, "Did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" John 6:70, remember, the son of perdition must fall away and be a Judas to the body before the Lord can come. Acts 1:25, take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas fell away. There it is, that he might go to his own place. Iscariot is made up of two words, is, which means man, and Kariot, which is Babylonish or Chaldean for city. So Judas Iscariot means to use the hand of a man who is a city. A man city. This shows us that the son of perdition is a corporate body of people in our day who are a part of the city of Babylon. As far as Christians are concerned, he is a part of the great Babylonish religious city in these days. Judas represented the city of the falling away that is guilty of the blood of the saints, Revelation 17:6 and 18:24. He was in league with the Sanhedrin, corporate false prophet, over the apostate people of God. And of course, Judas today, you know, is associated with them. He is a Pharisee. He is a wicked person. Jesus said of his true followers, "You are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hid." Matthew 5:14. True Christianity is a worldwide city or congregation of people. However, there is a Babylonian city within our city. There are two cities inhabiting the same territory. God is now separating these two by using the son of perdition to crucify the flesh of the body of Christ. And as with Judas, it was with Jesus. Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many stumble, falling away, and shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. It's happening. The murderous Judas assassinate and dismember the body by slander, witchcraft, and faction. It's happening. Get your eyes open. Watch for these people. They are the most dangerous. They're more dangerous than the beast government. More dangerous. Who did Jesus have to regard the most? Pilate wanted to set him free. Beast government didn't want anything to do with it. But Judas helped the Pharisees to crucify Jesus. And so it is today. It is today. And many false prophets shall arise, verse 11 says, and shall lead many astray. It's happening. You see here that at the end time, corporate Judas Iscariot will betray and deceive his own brethren worldwide. Worldwide body, deceiving a worldwide body. John 13 and 30 says, he then, having received the sop, went out straightway, and it was night. When Judas, the son of perdition, went out from among the body to betray Christ, it was night. He now, being filled with Satan, walked in total darkness. John 9 and 4 said, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, and when I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Another aspect of this darkness was that the son of perdition put out the light of the world. Christ, how much good teaching could Christ have been giving to the people? But the devil didn't like him. You know, he hated him. He was warring against him. And this time he will put out the light of the world, the body of Christ, for Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. The night, of course, is when there is no light to see by. The son of perdition, whom we will reveal, became angry when he forbid him about five times to seduce a married woman. And he was immediately taken over by Satan and went out to destroy the word, in perfect parallel to what we're talking about. The word that we have published for many years that makes people excited to know the Lord. He took down our site since he was a technician, and then he took down our videos because the demons in him hate the word to go forth. Apple technicians told us that he was the only one who could have done this to our site. He was getting notified every time we put something up, and as soon as we put it up, it would be. Only one person that can do that. Our new technician said the person who destroyed the files that kept the site up was very technical and knew exactly how to do it. That was him. He was the only one that had the passwords. And he has been stalking this woman by phone, using false numbers with her area code so she would pick up, not realizing that, knowing he's out of town, not realizing that it was him, immediately hung up, would call the number back, and he answered, giving us proof of him. Continued to stalk this woman even up until this day. Just yesterday, he had friends calling her husband to find out if she had left her husband. Well, of course she hasn't. Yeah, he don't understand. We know what he's doing. God reveals to us what he's doing. Okay, we'll have to take up this place again. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for revealing these people and purifying your body. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, these people are slanderers, they're murderers, they assassinate people's character, they separate people from the body, cutting off their limbs like the Muslims do, decapitating them like the Muslims do. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, and thank you for revealing these people. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, good night.